Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you from Los Angeles. Except for Caitlin, who's 3 hours in the future out there in Maryland. Is it Mary out there in Maryland?
No. I mean, it's very, like, overcast and coldish today for us. It's like in the 50s, and it was really hot a few days ago.
Yeah, we're in the midst of a heat wave here in the jungle. All right, so last night's episode starts off with Chris Harrison coming out and listing the rules that the producers had come up with 5 minutes previous.
Yeah,
and they're very confusing.
Doesn't it seem like it was all based on Brandon's suggestion? Like, there was no... Well, we talked about it last week, too, that the only way would be for somebody... Like, it's based on his comment. They could have made it a little subtler, like a little more subtle.
Yeah. They didn't even send half the people on dates.
So. No. And then everyone except Brandon came home early. Not because their choice. Not by their own choice.
Yeah. And they all got like the other two dates were basically like sit on the grass and like eat some cheese together and then go home. And
yeah,
Brandon and Julia like got rocks. Like an actual date.
Oh my god, that's so cheap. Just at least have us at home pretend,
like draw out of a hat or something, or pick straws, or make it seem like it's at least a little bit not predetermined that Brandon was gonna go out with Julia.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they could have done some funnier pairings to like try to make that more interesting, because outside of Brandon and Julia, they did Jamie and Ryan, which we'd already seen, and so it felt very like, why would you do that again when she's very clearly like settled in her relationship with Trevor, you know?
Yeah.
And then it seemed like they just chose Rudy and Chris like literally out of a hat, because
and Natasha like, well, Natasha could have gone with anybody and she might have made it work.
Yeah,
she really wanted like to stir things up.
Sit together to make them jealous.
Yeah,
exactly. So they could have put Natasha on a date with like anyone other than Brandon, I guess. Or they could have put her with Brandon and seen what happened.
Reason number 3,250,000, you know, like why the show doesn't work. Duets and relationships aren't correlated. You don't have a clear any reason to do anything. Falling in love through song only works in musicals. Like there's no, it's so stupid that they did that. They weren't even trans, like they were so transparent about it too, which is the most annoying part. Super annoying.
Well, they went to the Roxy, which, you know, is there. It kind of looked exactly like the Roxy looks like. It's just, it's very small, and then they have Christmas lights hanging everywhere. Fans of Vanderpump Rules will recognize it. That's where Sheena did her sexy song and dance routine one time. And I was there once just randomly.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the band playing. I was just there and they were jamming out. And I was trying to talk to my friend, but it was really loud, right? So I go, this band sucks. But right when I said it, the band finished their song and there's that, the music stopped and it was silent all of a sudden. All you could hear was me screaming. This band sucks. I felt really bad because it's kind of a, or at least it used to be. I think it changed ownership recently, but it's kind of like a pay-to-play place, right? Like if you're a band, you can pay them and they'll just put you on the books for like a Wednesday night or something.
Anytime, and they'll sell you tickets. So unfortunately, all these places have, because they're legendary, they don't need to do any work to stay in business. So what we call pay to play, the Roxy, the Viper Room, like anywhere where a celebrity has died, you can say, I played the box, you know, I'm from wherever, nowhere town, anywhere, USA. And you go there and you can tell people back home, I played at the Roxy.
Right.
But all you have to do is go up to the Roxy box office and go, I want to play at this night. They're going to be like, it cost you $2,000. Here's 100 tickets you have to sell. They're not going to sell them for you.
Right.
So, it's like totally.
Well, I felt bad because it seemed like a young bunch of whippersnappers.
I've only been there for free things because
I don't
it's only for promotion other than the pay-to-play thing.
I've been to Whiskey A Go Go and the Viper Room more than I've been to the Roxy, but they don't go to the Whiskey A Go Go or the Viper Room on these shows. What you can't go mean? Where River Phoenix died. And
what? You know, that's a weird
it's
thing.
Too edgy.
Okay. I'm sure it's fine.
I guess if the Viper Room paid enough money to The Bachelor, they'd go there. I did look for our friend or my friend that was in the audience for this taping at the Novo, formerly known as the Club Nokia.
It's not. Yeah, and that's another one. It is not legendary.
I know.
Whatever
it
they
in
said.
2008.
Iconic,
and
yeah.
That it's whole area is brand new, you know, that LA level, brand new-ish. And it used to be all Nokia branded. They have a few different venues there. And wasn't the, not the Academy Awards, but the Emmys were at the big theater there, right?
There's a lot of stuff that's there, yeah. Like the MTV Awards is always there. Stuff like
that. Microsoft bought Nokia a few years ago, so now it's the Microsoft Theater, and then I don't know where they came up with Novo, but everything's Microsoft now when you go there. The only thing I know about the Novo is it's in that same corner where the Lucky Strike is, which mm-hmm. is like hip
bowling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've made various amounts of money in my life, and I used to live right there. I used to live in a tower that overlooked that area, so I would wander over there. But you know, even in a year when I made good money, I would walk it, you know, I'd go to like Lucky Strike and the prices were so outrageous. I never would actually, I mean, to bowl, you have to reserve a lane, which costs some amount of hundreds of dollars. And then you have to buy these buckets of beer, which costs some amount of fifties of dollars. Like who is going to do these? Where do you get the money to go to Lucky Strike on a random night? And that whole area is like that.
That whole area
it sounds like there's an area like that in DC. It sounds like to me anyway, called the Wharf here, which is like only a couple of years old now. And there's a gigantic music venue down there, and like a lot of restaurants and stuff. But they keep on trying to be like, the Wharf, the hip new area. Look at these new condos at the Wharf, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Although the Staples Center is right there, it's built around the Staples Center, which is where the Lakers and the Kings and the Clippers play, so it's has like that anchor.
These places are like so sad because they're top down third places, which is like it makes you think of what business does to like how we shape ourselves in humanity. Like, it really bothers me to walk through them. It's really, like, despair. Because you walk through there and you're like, is this all that humanity has, like, come up with? You know, like, a movie theater and a bowling place, and you're supposed to be here.
Well, the idea is that you're going to go to a Lakers game, and then you go early with your friends, and you spend a lot of money on food and bowling, and maybe catch a movie or something. I think that's the idea.
If anything's inaccessible, you know, if everything's a little bit inaccessible, then you totally get that, like, I think everyone comes with this, like dread of what that bill is going to come back. It doesn't matter if you can afford it or not.
Right.
It matters that it's, like, totally, totally, like, insane.
Yeah, so, we just went bowling and it cost me $200.
Yeah, more, you know. So, I don't know. I'm always, like, in shock of that. Like, that place depresses me till no end. I think, and I've only been there, again, for free things. Because every once in a while, I think one time Stevie Wonder played for free on the street. And I was like, whoa, cool. I'll go there. And that's where, when Kobe Bryant died, that's where everyone went. So, of course, no. And Michael Jackson, too. I went there for Michael Jackson. But other than, like, the actual humanity, like, piling up for something that feels like, you know, like a moment in time, that those places, like, really, like, freak me out.
Yeah. Well, when I was waiting for my apartment to get ready in this tower, I had to move out of my other apartment that morning. And my apartment wasn't ready yet. Like, they were like, we think you can move in on this date. And I said, I really, really, really hope I can, because I have to move out of my other apartment that morning. So I put everything in like a storage locker and then just had a suitcase and I rolled it into the movie theater and I just watched movies all day. They didn't mind that I bought one ticket and watched, I think it was a Lego Movie, Ben Stiller, where he goes on all these adventures.
Like Walter Mitty or something?
Yeah, Walter Mitty. Those were all, I watched all those at the same time. And then sure enough, they called me in the fourth movie, like, your apartment's ready. So whatever movie I was in, I jumped up and ran out and slept on a blanket in my new apartment.
So you just sat
you're
in the
reverse
theater
hobo
and like waited for the next movie to start in between them?
Yeah, well, I would, you know, I don't think any movie theater really cares if you just buy one ticket and then jump from one movie to the next.
Yeah, I feel like I've spent
days. I mean, it's all teenagers working there anyway. So you buy a ticket, you watch the movie, and then you come out of the movie and you just go to whatever movie is playing next.
Oh, so, Caitlin, I don't know if this is a tradition around America, but this is definitely an LA tradition I've seen. When it's a really hot day and you don't want to hang out at the library all day, you go to a movie theater and you go to every movie.
Hang out at the library?
Well, because it's a cooling center. It's an official cooling center. We have cooling centers.
Oh, it's so hot today. Let's go to the library.
I've seen people. Okay, Craig, there's cooling centers for like seniors, and then there's libraries, and then the other place is the movie theater.
Yeah, yeah, the
I've heard of people going to the movies for like the air conditioning, basically. But I've never heard of them just sitting there all day. You know, like you stay in the same seat and just wait for the next movie.
No. We exactly. don't move no, around no, you, because you get they up play and the you, movie yeah. over and again. Because
I think it's the same movie in the same theater. So you would have to get up and go to the next one. So what you do? You know, it's not like I didn't spend money. I mean, a Coke costs, you know, $25.
Yeah.
Some popcorn cost another $19. So it wasn't like I wasn't spending money then.
I don't know. The last time I went to a movie, they did check my ticket, but it was, I think, because it was at an Alamo Draft House and they're like fancy.
Yeah.
Right.
Fancy.
You know, okay, like they do service at your seat and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start saving my money now, Caitlin. So when you come to LA, whenever, we'll take you to Lucky Strike. And
I thought you were going to say, we'll take you to a movie theater and we can just go to a bunch of movies all day long.
Even the matinees at that theater in LA Live are $20.
Oh my God.
It's really just expensive. That whole place is a ridiculous joke. Like, it's definitely I feel like it's like a money laundering, like, there's no way.
Right.
It's for tourists, but it's a joke of a place. Like, no one really likes to go there, I don't think. Anyway.
Well, it was the largest theater, the Novo, that all of them had ever played in before. It seats 2,500, I think, if my research was accurate, which is a fair amount. And I like that they're all standing. Like I said, I was looking for my friend who was there.
I almost went that day.
I didn't see him. But no.
I was almost there.
They didn't really show the audience that much.
They
showed certain
people close up in the audience. Yeah. Like, I saw some
I think I saw like four people in the audience, and then the rest of the time it just seemed like a faceless mass.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys will recall, I was almost there, except I fell asleep and didn't go. And it was literally so close I could walk there if I wanted to.
I almost went to that. That's a great story, Easy.
Well, it's great in that. Can you believe how valuable that I could have told you all about Savannah and Brandon recoupling, you know, before the show started.
Yeah, because they told the audience at the performance that they were like, we just recoupled, basically.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's valuable information in a way. Okay, so.
In a way.
Yeah. As we said last week, Bachelor producers will find a mechanism, and they did. Anything to say about how we said that?
Well, I would like to point out that I was the one that said that they're going to make them all go on random dates this week.
Last week, really, Craig?
Yeah. Like, there could be a trade. You know, like, Sheridan goes with Savannah, and then Julia goes with
Brandon. Wait.
She's so sneaky. I'm playing... This is what really happened. So we're going to play that.
So what we said wait, last hold on week. A second. So you went back through the podcast last week, and you are proving that I did not, in fact, say that they were going to go on random dates?
Yes. God damn it. Okay.
All right. Keep playing it if you want.
Do you guys listen to anything? I mean, I listen to our podcast sometimes for kind of clarity or to see where we're at. But when I listen to anything that has words in it, I have a mental picture of where I am or what I'm doing. So then I can kind of pinpoint where we were. Is that like, you know, people have minds that think in color or who don't think in words. Does that happen?
Like synesthesia, I think it is, when you see like the colors and stuff like that.
Right. But I have one where I could tell you exactly where I was when I heard it.
Okay. Where were you when you heard
okay. I'm telling you
State of the Union, Obama's last State of the Union.
No, I can tell you exactly where I was. I was in Plaster City. The only reason I remember that is because it was raining really hard. And I was in Plaster City between, like, Calexico and San Diego. But the reason I say that is because I remembered exactly where I was when I was walking around listening to the podcast. And you said this, Craig.
Oh, huh.
So I pinpointed it from the little thing. Anyway.
So instead of saying they should just go on random dates, I said that they should... What did I say? Okay.
I said... So you said, well, maybe Savannah and Brandon will team up. And I said, no way, because they don't like each other. So that's where we left off.
Right. Oh, right. I was saying that rather than go home... No, So if Brandon and Julia hooked up, which they did... There's no reason that Savannah and Sheridan had to go home. They could have hooked up.
No, but we said it last week. Brandon, Sheridan was not interested in Savannah at all.
He could have been.
He said night one, I am not gonna, Julia's the only woman here for me. That's what he said.
Yeah, okay, my recalling of when we discussed this is that EZR and I both thought that Sheridan and Savannah would not get together in a partner swap situation just because they don't have anything for each other. And Sheridan was dead set on Julia and didn't even like flirt with any other women. And yeah.
And it's
conceivably they could have tried, but it doesn't seem like that's what anyone does on this show.
And it's a good thing they didn't, because Sheridan is like, hold on a second. It's a good thing they didn't, because if they had coupled up Savannah and Sheridan for whatever like minuscule, whatever that little anything they've ever had together, it would have absolved Brandon and kind of Julia. So because Bachelor Nation loves that kind of redemption story. So it's better that they leave anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. He had nothing to gain by staying. It seems like the consensus opinion on Twitter is that we don't like Julia because she didn't give Sheridan a chance, right?
No, well, that's not my consensus. That's not my thought.
Why don't we like Julia then?
I don't.
Well, she is always a victim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she makes herself out to be the victim in every one of these conversations. And that's part of the reason that I don't like her.
I see.
Okay.
Like, remember last week when we talked about the Savannah and Julia conversation, and Julia was like, now I feel like I'm being attacked, you know?
Yeah.
And but she basically did the same thing in her breakup conversation with Sheridan, right? Like, he was like, okay, tell me what you're going to tell me. And right. I'm like, why are you being so mean to me? you know?
Yeah.
I can't believe you're getting up and walking away.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's like, what else is he supposed to do? You just broke up with him. Why should he, like, why is he staying?
But the difference is that Julia is, that proves her immaturity. And she didn't do anything as maliciously as, for example, Trevor did. And it's just, like, she just needs to mature a lot. She doesn't look like she does, though, so I think people aren't giving her a pass. Like, she looks much older. So, it's like, she didn't do anything to protect her reputation at all. Trevor did everything to try to protect her reputation. His reputation.
His reputation.
Right. So, I think that's the nuance that we can all work with Julia on here. Like, she also had a very heartfelt Instagram. And even when she left the show, she said, Sheridan knew how to treat me right. And I'm like, didn't know what was going on. And at that point, Brandon, like, didn't, you know, she didn't have to say that. She could have said, like, oh, I miss Brandon. But she just was like, oh, I totally messed up. Like, she acknowledges she messed up.
There seems to be a fair amount of vitriol against Julia. In fact, Jay in LA is really against Julia. I tweeted, can you explain this to me? I really don't understand why people don't like Julia. And he's like, come on, you don't know why? I mean, I guess it's because she let this drag out for 2 weeks. And kind of what you said, Caitlin, she's playing the victim. I don't know.
But does it affect it at all that she's not, she doesn't mean it in a mean way?
Wait, is that a statement in support of Julia or against Julia?
In support of her unawareness, of her naiveness.
Okay. Hold on. What's the official Bachelor Masters stance on Julia?
I feel bad for her.
Okay. It's not that you don't like her. You just feel bad for her.
I think she's more of a victim of herself than, you know, she is victimizing anyone else. So it's hard for me to compare her to, like, a villain. It's hard for me to make her a villain.
Okay. And you concur with that, Caitlin?
I mean, I don't like her because she is very unlikable, in my opinion. I do see, like, that she doesn't seem like she's not plotting things out or, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's not planning to try to do certain things, but she is extremely immature. She is constantly blaming everything on everyone else around her. I feel like she's not a person that I would want to be friends with, if that makes sense. I do feel like Brandon is more of a villain in this situation. But yeah, she's not a likable character on this season.
Okay.
Fair enough. In your take?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just had, if I knew her in real life, I would say, oh, I don't have anything against her. You know, I can totally get why people like Sheridan, and I'm sure he'll be the next Bachelor, and he'll do really well Bachelor in Paradise, and everyone.
Oh
loves
my God,
that he has
I would
long
love
hair.
To see Sheridan as a Bachelor season, though.
It would be too weird.
It would be super weird, but I feel like I'd probably be better than Peter's season.
You know what, like, Noah, I feel like even though he's gotten the good guy treatment because he really was the good guy, like, he ended it so maturely, he listened, he did everything he was supposed to do, they still gave him that weird love montage as if that was his those were his thoughts,
yeah,
when he was leaving the mansion. So, like, I feel like the show doesn't even get him at all. Like, they know he's the good guy, but how?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, regardless, it's like, I get it. I get why people like him. I'm not going against any of that. He seems like a nice guy. But it's like, dude, clean yourself up, and maybe,
maybe
the women that you like will like you back.
That's not why she didn't like him. That's irrelevant.
Would you want to go in for a kiss? His face is always sweaty. And not just like mom's not spaghetti? Just like wet.
No.
It's like dried sweat. It's like sweat from the night before and you didn't take a morning shower sweat.
Are you
Craig, what is this?
Yeah, what are you saying?
He needs to clean himself up.
You are soap. Like you are putting someone you know into his place, I think. I don't know who you know, but like I feel like you're really
he liked her that isn't there. She didn't like him back. That's a fact. I'm just saying that if he cleaned himself up, used some facial soap, cut his hair and just didn't have this greasy oiled mustache that nobody would want to kiss, maybe she would like him back. You know, looks aren't everything.
I don't think that has anything something. To do with the issue, Craig.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to touch his skin. It was all oily and greasy.
I didn't really see
Yeah, that. I didn't notice an excess of oil on his face.
Maybe women are like really attuned to that stuff.
Well, too. As a man, I know men grooming and I know when I don't see it.
Do you know anyone that looks like Sheridan to you that you're like, clean yourself up? Because I think you're putting someone in his place.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Craig, do you have a problem with, say, like the facial hair of Matt on this show?
Yeah.
I am not a fan of facial hair, but I don't have, like, the guys that have it are well-groomed, except for him. He even says in his bio that he uses a special oil on his hair, and you can see it. It's like glistening, and I wouldn't want to touch it. It's gross. And like I said, his skin, like above his mustache, like his cheeks and his forehead, it's always slimy. That's not me judging him as a person. It's just judging the products he uses and the length of shower he takes. If he cleaned all that up and learned how to do it right, maybe he would be more attractive to the opposite sex if that's what he's looking for.
I do have to say that I don't think you spent a lot of time in Austin, Texas, because
no,
I don't think once. A cleaned up version would be at all palatable to the women of Austin.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
Move on.
Yeah. Well, we can move on from what you're talking about, but I have something to say because he does a very good job. I mean, if he is actually not himself, like if this was a misrepresentation of him, then he is like the world's greatest actor because he's so great. But there's something that kind of bothered me about what he said, and let's just go into it for a second. I did not like that he said Julia goes for a-hole guys, not the nice guys. I take issue with quotes like that because, Caitlin, help me out here, but women don't choose assholes, except maybe people like Savannah, who's kind of an outlier in the women race. Because she's like, she has different concepts of the
woman, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, don't like the trope, the nice guy trope, right?
Yeah.
Because it's usually used in terms of like, well, this kind of situation, right? That like, why would they choose the mean guy when they could have been with a nice guy like me? But then usually the people saying they're a nice guy are not actually that nice of people.
Right, or they're creepy.
They're creepy or they're manipulative and they think they're nice people, but they're not. And my vibe of Sheridan was that he does seem like a genuinely nice person. And that he did handle his stuff with Julia well in terms of like, you know, he never got super mad at her. He basically was just really patient and then was like, all right, well, I mean, if this is how you feel, you know, I think he did seem to be a nice guy, but that idea that like, and I feel like this is a common idea that, you know, if women don't date a nice guy, it's because they want to date a bad boy instead, right?
Right. There's no real, I mean, there's a need for like, there's something there that an asshole has, but it's not because he's an asshole. Like, that's a hard one to dispel for men, because men tend to, like, put it in those two categories. So, Craig, what do you think about this trope?
Yeah, no, I agree. Trope? I agree with
men, everything. Men you're have
saying.
In their heads, right? But like, you're a man who talks to men. What do they really think that? Like, do they really, really think women are like, ooh, an asshole? Yay! I want to date that asshole. Like, no women don't really think that.
I think there's an age. I think there's an age for both men and women when they go through a phase, like between the ages of 19 and 22. You're susceptible to a bad boy or a bad girl. Now, whatever that is, you know, like you said, it's kind of hard to pin down. But I totally agree that a nice guy, when a nice guy says, I'm finishing last because I'm a nice guy, what they're really saying is, I'm finishing last because I'm a dweeb who doesn't know how to treat women right, or something like that, you know? And maybe they'll learn how, or maybe they won't. But I think true, genuinely true nice guys finish first in the end anyway. So, but I think what kind of confuses this whole conversation is that Brandon is not a nice guy, but I wouldn't put him in the bad boy category either. Like, a bad boy to me is not just a jerk. Like, being a jerk does not make you a bad boy, and a bad boy is not a jerk. Brandon seems like a jerk.
Right? Do you think Brandon, it's his styling that would make him not a bad boy? Do you know what I mean? Like, if he was wearing a black leather jacket, yeah, right. Would you say that's a bad boy?
I don't know. We kind of talked about it a little bit last week, kind of like the swagger. He doesn't seem to have any swagger. And honestly, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe it's not that he's getting the girls. Maybe he's just getting a girl. Because Savannah, I don't think, was really all that into him anyway. She was just playing the game. And Julia was into Brandon, but she's one woman. So I don't think he's this big catch that we're making him out to be. It's right? You get to catch him adrift?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, in terms of just looks... And in terms of, like, the 1950s, Sheridan is the bad boy. And
right, because he has long hair.
The other one's the Marine, you know, crew cut. So, right. You know, the good guy. So, we're not looking at – I don't think we're looking at looks here. But I don't like those kind of dichotomies that men seem to set up for themselves to make it it easier to lose.
And, like, and you're criticizing Sheridan for – developing that, which, yeah, I agree with.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been fed to him.
Right.
I don't know if that's his genuine thought. I feel like even when I first saw him, Craig, even before we saw the damn show, I felt like he was a little deeper. He could be.
Yeah.
But Sheridan. I don't like that he said that. Yeah, Sheridan.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with all that. I don't really understand what the draw is with Brandon. And I'm venturing that he doesn't really have much of a draw. He just has one woman that's into him. Why Julia's into him?
I think the draw is it to someone like Savannah, and maybe someone like Julia, is that he is so muddy and vague. And yes, I choose you in the same sentence as saying I can't. You know, like, he is like, you want to hire this guy for getting out of any problem. The times I've heard him say two completely different things in the same sentence while saying nothing at all, but saying a lot, like women extracting what they want to hear, was like mind blow. Wasn't that like, that was insane. I said this a few weeks ago, but this guy is definitely using his powers for evil. And those are powers. Like, those are legit. Like, someone taught him how to do that. Don't you think? Like, he saw his parents, like, talk in code. That is high level what he's doing. Isn't it insane?
Yeah, it's certainly something. I mean, the conversation that he had, well, even the whole series of events, right? He goes on the date with Julia. It certainly seems like they're planning on dumping their current partners and getting together. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about what you had said, EZR, even as like they go back into that mansion and they're Julia and Brandon are splitting up to go talk to their respective partners. And he never says he's going to break up with Savannah, right? Like,
right.
He just is like, everything is going to be fine. We'll talk later. You know, like it's all very vague. And then he has this conversation with Savannah that's wild because he basically is like, oh, Julia still has feelings for me and I still have feelings for her, which seems like on the face of it, right? Like that's like an open and shut, okay, I guess this is a dumping, right? Mm-hmm. But then he goes like, but I want to work things out with you. Like, what?
Yeah. What? And like, honestly, if he told someone to say that, they would say it wrong. It's only his like intonations, like the body language. I mean, how is he keeping both of them as his second choice? That's like floaty power. Like that's so hard for me. I could never do that if I tried. Like keeping two people constantly thinking they're second best is amazing because that means they could get to first. Okay. So let's play. Okay. I want to play Brandon's absolute definition of gaslighting. Okay. So, this term, it has in the past 5 years classically been overused. Actually, this is a feminist term that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, very hard to look up and to like look into. And it comes from the movie Gaslight by Charles Boyer, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before on the podcast, Craig, but like this will be obvious.
The guy was turning the gaslights down, but right, then telling the woman that they were still the same brightness.
Right. That's a classic definition. But what I was going to say was that I've had a feminist radio show for 15 years. I don't like to talk about it a lot, but back then, you know, whatever, 10 years ago, I wanted to write a segment on the movie. And I really love this movie. It's a movie from like the 40s, 50s. No, Angela Lansbury's in it as like an 18-year-old. So it must be from like the 50s or the, yeah, 50s. So, right. It's interesting that now it gets overused. Because if it's getting overused, that means people can use it against you, right? To gaslight you. I think it's one of these classic irony things that like is meta irony. But I want to count the number of
times. Trying to convince something that gaslighting is something that it's not.
Right. I see it a lot. And people use it incorrectly, to be fair. Because it's second tier lying or like fourth tier lying.
Right.
I want to count the number of times Brandon in his conversation with Savannah blames Savannah for why he's doing what he's doing. So I actually cut out the number of times, but we can count them together because it's like this guy is, I would love to take him to like a feminist / scientific lab and just like study this guy. He is classic.
Well, before you play it, let's just clear this up. So if gaslighting is convincing somebody that the truth is different than what it is, vis-a-vis the lamps are not as bright as they usually are, but you're trying to convince them that they're the same brightness.
Mm-hmm.
How is telling a girl that it's her fault that you're dumping her gaslighting?
Because it was his fault. I mean, what kind of agreement were they in? But if by all accounts, if someone were to tell that story unbiased, he cheated on her. Yet the whole time when he was in a conversation with her, he put it on her, on Savannah.
Yeah, I think what really makes this stand out for me is Julia and Brandon made out on their date, right? He never brings that up. He's in some sort of like a relationship loosely defined. But you know what I mean? He's supposed to be in this partnership with Savannah that seemingly precludes kissing other people. Yet he makes it seem like, you know, if only Savannah had been clearer with her feelings, maybe he wouldn't have ever made out with Julia, you know?
So maybe when we listen to it, it'll be a little bit clearer. But the list he goes down is like, it's pretty good. Okay, let's start.
So she still has feelings, you know? I think I still have feelings for her. You're like 95% in this with me, but there's a 5% that's mysterious that scares the out of me.
Two. Now, that one is insane to me. That he's telling Savannah, he's back from his date with Julia, and he tells Savannah, you know, you're not in this all the way with me. When he just kissed someone else, like, holy shit. That was a crazy one to me. Okay, that's two.
Okay, I feel like you have somewhat of an attitude or an air about you that I'm not trying to fight you. We have a lot of work to do on communication.
Three, four.
So I ask you to open up, and you're still conservative, and I have grace and patience for that.
It's more than
you five.
You deserve everything that you want, sweetie, and I hope that
you
get it.
I can't, like, I six. Can't do it.
I know. You've made that point clear plenty of times.
Condescending. Very condescending in that one. Sorry, I want to make sure we, like, you made that point clear, sweetie. You don't have to keep hammering on about how I cheated on you. Jesus Christ. Seven.
Here for you.
Well, you didn't even give me, like, this definitive answer of where you and Julia are. Like, you literally didn't even say, like, there was no part of this that you said, like, it's done with her. We found closure. Like, this is over. You literally...
You haven't asked, sweetie.
I asked you upstairs multiple times. So where are you guys?
Can we talk like adults? I would love that. Because I'm here for you. I kind of came to find you.
I love
it. Because I care about you. I'm willing to make the decision now to work this out with you. If you think that there's any capacity in your heart to be able to trust me fully...
Holy crap. Like, yeah. So, okay. Can you sum up why it's gaslighting then? Now that we've heard it?
Well, I don't want to divert the conversation.
This is the conversation.
Well, I'm still stuck on the definition when really we're talking about Brandon's gaslighting, which I think is more interesting for the podcast anyway, right?
Well, the definition is you're trying to convince someone that what their reality isn't real, that the reality isn't real.
Well, how is that
your narrative guides
than simple lying, like you said?
Well, it's not lying. It's not just lying though. It's like a blanket over how you perceive things, which makes you think you're wrong. So it's like, it's a little
Bit of intent too. I think if a guy is gaslighting a woman, there has to be some underlying belief on the guy's part that he's right, even though he's totally wrong, right?
Yeah,
it's like, to pass a lie detector test, you have to believe in the lie. Like you have to be narcissistic or arrogant enough as a man to like somewhat believe your own lies in order to effectively gaslight somebody.
Don't you think I don't think so. I think he is so used to getting away with this stuff that he forgets about the cameras and forgets that it's all provable in this one case. And I'm kind of surprised. Here was the confusing part to me, because I feel like all that's super clear. Like, he is trying. He's, to me, one of the, like, ultimate misogynistic type men out there, without seeming misogynistic, right? Which is even more dangerous. Why does he want her back at one point? Like, that is really confusing to me. He at some point says, "Where's Savannah? I want to work it out with you." And she's like, "No, why? That was very hard for me to figure out. Like, he's just trying to keep up the good guy appearance. Like, that's, I don't know. Anyone have answers?
Yeah, I don't really know, because it is very, it's very confusing, because it certainly seemed like, you know, he's saying he has feelings for Julia, they're kissing on their date. It seems like, it seems obvious that, you know, that's the direction he wants to go in. Yet then he comes back to this, you know, I'm choosing you at the end, Savannah, if only you can trust me, which made me laugh when she was like, no, I can't trust you. I'm not really sure what he wants out of that, honestly. I mean, in some ways it might be an ego thing where he wants to get Savannah back and keep Julia as his, like, side person who's still into him and just sort of keep that status quo of having multiple women who are interested in dating him, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. That was, yeah, I mean, like, but this is a show where you have to pick. And that's why it was hard to, like, yes, in real life,
at least according to the rules.
That's true. Yeah. Right. I mean, if there, you can't just have an extra person at that point.
I bet this guy always has an extra person in every relationship.
At least one extra
person. Where it's like, is it cheating? Or is it just, you know what I mean? Like, I bet he rides that line a lot.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. But like in this show, it just seems so weird. Like it was, it's almost, I kind of took, if I had to like guess, which it's very hard for me to do because I don't know what his motivation was. Like it's still not, I'm not convinced by anything, but that maybe he wanted to salvage a good guy relationship and keep Savannah around. Like even though it was impossible at that point. He's like, oh, wait, what if I just told her? Or maybe he's just like, he doesn't like, there's something obviously wrong with him. He doesn't like losing. So when Savannah leaves, he loses. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I also got the sense that he wasn't actually into Julia really at all.
You know? Right. Maybe that's, yeah.
So I wonder if that's part of it too, is that he liked the attention. He likes having this, you know, this romantic thing going on, but that maybe he didn't really actually want to partner with her as like, you know, this is the person I'm choosing. Although I feel like, I guess he probably didn't know this at the time that they were having the conversation, because Julia talked to Sheridan around the same time and then Sheridan left. But when Sheridan left, I think Brandon and Savannah were already off talking, it seemed like, because it would feel like to me, if his thought was, let's just keep the status quo and I'll keep on having two women into me, the moment Sheridan leaves, like, you can't do that anymore, right? Because it removes the option of just pretending that it wasn't actually a big deal and things are fine.
Right. Right.
The gaslighting stuff reminded me a bit, actually, of the Trevor's conversation about emotional cheating. From a few episodes ago, he's trying to justify, right, that it's like, it wasn't really cheating, it was emotional cheating, and I did it because our relationship was bad, you know what I mean? So it's this whole thing of trying to put the blame somewhere else, right, to make it be like, you know, my flirting with all these other women and having like sexy texts with them doesn't really matter because mentally I was already checked out of my relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Brandon takes it to Brandon is the example and Trevor is like the theory.
Well, it's similar even to Jed with Hannah B. When I think one of the points when he tried to justify his actions, he'd said something along the lines of like, in his heart, he'd already broken up with his ex-girlfriend, even though he hadn't told her that they were broken up.
Yeah. Classic man.
Yes, exactly. Which is like, somehow that makes it better. And it was like, that doesn't make it better. Just break up with her.
Yeah. Jesus, this guy is a piece of work. There is no redemption for this man unless he, like, this is, if this guy doesn't go down as one of the villains of Bachelor history, then Bachelor Nation is lost. Because there is no, like, this is the example. This is what The Bachelor is for, to, like, show you
to who ruin people's
in the
lives.
World is wrong. Like, who in the world needs, like, you know, to never, like, yeah, to, yes, yes. There needs to be people who are, like, you are the poster right. boy of this horrible thing.
Yeah. They've fallen the sword for the... all the bad people
fall
out there.
Fall on the sword, Craig. You mean... I mean, that's noble, I guess, made medieval speak.
Hey, pirates were bad people, and they...
Yes! I'm glad you said that. I hate that narrative, too. Like, as pirates were, you know, like... Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's
anyway.
Like when a kid dresses up as a pirate for Halloween. It's like, you realize really how awful pirates were?
Yes, it bothers me. I have that conversation all the time. Yeah, like, no, because pirates are on TV, and I'm like, that's not okay. Just like, I have the yesterday, you know, like, oh, like something, I can't believe this came out of my kid's mouth, but something about a princess. I'm like, princesses are horrible people who do nothing all day. Like, I had to say that. And of course I got yelled at.
Do you ever see Marie Antoinette with...
The Sofia Coppola version? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Starring...
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Is it good? It looks good.
It's enjoyable.
I love
it. But it's all about her. It literally is about her having nothing to do all day. Sofia Coppola did a very good job of... It's like that movie Castaway with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how do you move the movie along when he has nothing to do? Right? There's no dialogue. Yeah, and, you know, Tom Hanks and Robert Zemeckis figured that out. But I think the Marie Antoinette movie does a equally effective job of trying to make it fun to watch her doing nothing all day.
Interesting, because Sofia Coppola herself benefits from, like, massive amounts of nepotism. So I'm interested in the fact that she would, try to deflect that by making a movie about how someone else is worse than her. Like,
I went to the bathroom in a urinal next to Francis Ford Coppola.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just because he does a lot of UCLA.
Oh.
He filmed, like,
a penis story.
No, that's it.
Oh.
And I was peeing, and I look over, because he's not very tall. And if you're on UCLA campus, you kind of know he's around anyway, because he spends a lot of time around. I'm like, oh, that's Francis Ford Coppola peeing next to me. But you can't say anything. You can't just be like, hey, what's up, because you're peeing. You know, that would be awkward. Uh-huh. So, you know, I washed my hands and I left.
Okay. Cool story. Now,
hey, it's like you almost went to the taping of The Bachelor story.
Hey, that's relevant. Okay, Caitlin, I tried to cut out what you were saying, but I couldn't tell if we were doubling up or not. So tell me if there's anything that we left out of what you wanted to address.
Oh, for the when Julia and Brandon talk before their performance. So I was very interested in that conversation, because this comes after Natasha tells Julia that she had asked Brandon, I mean, in front of Julia, which was kind of also interesting, that Julia's supposed to, like, plug her ears to not hear the response. But Natasha had asked, you know, if Savannah wanted to stay with you, would you have chosen her? And he nods and mouths yes. He doesn't say it because, you know, he doesn't trust that Julia has actually plugged her ears up. But for some reason, Julia, I guess, never wondered what that silence meant. Because she seems completely surprised. You know what I mean?
She's desperate at that. She's like, I hope he likes me.
She's in such stage. Denial about what's actually going on here, because when Natasha tells her, like, hey, remember that thing where we had you plug your ears so I could ask Brandon a question? Well, the question was, would he stay with Savannah if she wanted it? And he said yes. And she immediately freaks out and says Natasha is trying to sabotage her, which she's not wrong, but but I also feel like but it's Natasha, a kind of situation where I'm like, I mean, obviously Natasha did it at that moment in a motivation, but she's not lying. She's right, you know?
Right. That's so hard. You know, she's like, yeah, like, you know, she keeps doing these things that are probably for bad reasons, but the fact that she's doing them really makes things better for people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, she's not lying about it, and it is information that Julia should have, right?
Yes.
That's so hard. I was kind of like, yeah, I get that Natasha is doing it to, like, freak her out a little bit, but it is also something that, like, Natasha, you know, Julia should want to know, basically.
Yeah.
But she hears this information, she goes to talk to Brandon, and she says exactly what happened, right? She's like, I just had this conversation with Natasha. She told me this thing. And Brandon's response is so squirrely, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like, well, it wasn't definitive. I didn't definitively say yes. And I went back to rewatch, and it was like, yeah, you 100% said yes. You mouthed the word yes. You nodded yes that you would stay with Savannah. You did answer definitively. But what he tells Julia is that he didn't say definitively whether or not he would have. He just wanted to know, you know, where Savannah was at. And he never got that clarity. And anyway, it doesn't matter now, because now we're together and I'm so excited to perform with you, baby. Let's go do this.
Yeah. Why? That added into my, why can't he pick? Like, if he's going to be, you know, if he's going to act, like, it's very confusing that he wouldn't just say, if you wouldn't. He is the asshole, but, like, why wouldn't he just take it all the way? That's why it was so hard. But it's not like, oh, there must be some redemptive prop, you know, there must be something that makes him sympathetic in there. I'm not trying to say that at all, but like, why not just say, no, of course not. I'm here with Julia now, and, like, put his arm around her or something, even though he's lying. It doesn't matter anymore.
That's like, true, because no why he did at that point, that. Like, the motivation for, you know what I mean? The motivation for half telling her the truth makes zero sense, because he obviously knows that, like, and I mean, like, she even tells him in this conversation when he's like, let's just go out there and perform. And she's like, well, you know, now I feel weird about performing with you because I don't know what's actually going on. It would have been so much easier for him to, like, straight up just say, you know, oh, no, I would have picked you. I don't know why Natasha would have said that, even though it's a lie, you know? But instead, he does this weird thing where he's, like, trying to muddy the waters and saying, basically, it did really crack me up when I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it was something along the line of, like, well, it doesn't matter how it happened. Savannah and I are broken up now, and here we are together. And it's like, it does matter how it happened. But you have made it, like, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't need to point out how wrong you were, you know what I mean? I think what you're saying is right, Izar. He could have so easily just reassured Juliet in that moment and then gone out for the performance, and then who knows, like, maybe they'll talk about it more seriously later or whatever, but especially since there is no version of this that makes him look better, you know?
Maybe he thought in the moment it would make him look better. Like, it's just, it's so confusing. That's kind of why I was like, I had to defer to you, Craig, because I'm like, what, why? You know, that it's not even like I said, it's not like there's any, like, I don't find any noble reason why he did that. I'm not saying that, but, like, maybe he saw
all the reasons that you said.
I guess I should look up what his gaslighting of the world is going to be, you know, through Instagram. Like, you know, I got caught up. I'm sure he has some.
Yeah. Oh,
what a
boy.
Man. Damn. Like, that. He's up there. He's up there with, like, I don't know. It's just, like, it's impressive that he survived this long to me. In this day and age.
And I think even, like, their performance together and what the judges were saying and what Julia said in some of her, like, to cameras afterwards, where she said it felt like he was treating it like a solo performance. He wasn't really trying to interact with her, etc. It feels like he should have been better at faking that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a funny, that's literally the only time the concept of the show has worked, but in a bad way. Like, she was going out of her way to sing at him. She even, like,
yeah.
I feel like she was folded over, like, in his direction. And he was like, yeah, you're there. That's fine. Like, it was very symbolic. And I was blown away that why doesn't he fake it at the times it matters? And then he has a little hissy fit about the song. Like, he does these really off things, maybe to make himself seem more human or something. Like, I make mistakes too. Like, maybe they're strategic mistakes because he's not a human. Like, I'm just so, it's baffling that he's not 100% calculated, because I don't think those are mistakes someone at his level should make. It's off to me.
Yeah, especially since he's so good at, like, acting when it comes to the gaslighting stuff, that it feels like he should be better at doing it on stage.
Yeah, like he wants to be caught. Like, so weird.
This is it. That's why he went on the show. He wants to get caught in the act of gaslighting narcissism.
He wants his mom's attention.
Oh my god.
Whoa. We have to investigate.
All right. Okay. Let's close the book on Brandon. And we're already pretty far along in this podcast. Do we just want to break here?
The only thing that was interesting, I think, was Bree and Chris, that are, like, just a blip, kind of, to me. I mean, they're probably going to be the winners, right?
I feel like there's a strong chance they will be, just because if they're really sold on this, you know, the show concept is you're in love and you're performing together, then they're the people who are, right, you know, the closest to that goal. I think you mentioned the performances briefly. I mean, I thought Rudy and Matt were really good again.
Rudy and Matt. Okay.
Oh, my God, Craig.
Craig, there aren't even that many of them left.
Again, they really like each other. It doesn't seem, neither one of them, Bree or Chris, are malicious people.
Mm, yeah.
But it does seem to me like they just want to be done relationships. They want to be established. They don't want to deal with any more, like, dating. They're just like, oh, phew, I'm so glad you like me.
Yeah, okay. Like, phew, I've found somebody who likes me. I guess I don't need to, you know, like, they're not trying to probe deeper and be like, are we truly compatible? Or, yeah, that, I mean, even see this in the little, at the end of the episode when they do the previews for next week. Easier, did you watch them?
No. Is it bad?
No, I mean,
I don't mind spoilers.
They hint at, like, they're going to Las Vegas on tours, on tour buses together, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a moment where it's like, oh my god, are Bree and Chris going to get married in Las Vegas? Which would be wild. It would be wild.
Yeah. But it would be there. I mean, people get married for worse reasons. So, like I said, it's like, you know.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
But it's on the table that these two might either get engaged or married during this show. Whereas the other couples, even the ones who are getting along really well, they're not close to getting engaged or married, you know?
Right. And, like, to me, Chris's performance, and, well, Brie, but, like, I don't really count her. I thought Chris was a better performer, has been a better performer in general this whole show. He seemed uninterested and flat during that, even though they gave both of them high marks. I was kind of like, this is a good performance? I didn't see that.
I thought she was better than him in that one.
Yeah.
And he has a nice voice and seems like he usually performs pretty well. But yeah, when I was listening to them, I was like, she sounds pretty good. Like, I'm buying all of her stuff. He just seems like he's kind of there in that one.
Yeah. That scarf didn't help at all.
Oh, like, yeah, I wanted to talk about some fashion, actually.
That's all I noticed the whole time.
Boy, his scarf look during their performance, just like a loose little tapestry scarf happening.
Yeah.
And of course, Julia, again, as usual, but her performance outfit of the white blazer mini dress and like thigh high black boots was so bad.
Yeah, she dresses herself.
Yeah, low marks for that one.
Oh my
God. Yeah, it still bugs me that the criteria for the guy to look like he's in love while singing is just to stare at the woman.
Well, they're normally holding a guitar.
Yeah, but look at Ryan. He still has a little creeper in him, but he moved around, and then they frolicked down onto the runway area.
Yeah, I'm
like, that was cool.
Very curious about what their deal is.
Hey, they could be the couple that persists for all
they
we know.
Could be, honestly, but yeah, they did show more of them interacting this week. And the vibe I got off of their conversations was like mean girl and her gay best friend, but he's not a gay best friend. You know what I mean? But that was very much the conversations where she would be like, let's gossip about people. And he'd be like, yeah, I'll hear the gossip. You know,
I totally get the vacation boyfriend vibe. Like, you know, you pick him up at night on a beach and then he hangs out the next day and you're like, why are you still here? Well, you can be my little minion. Like, not something I've done, but I've seen women do
that. Yeah, it's interesting because it does seem like there's definitely like some sort of friendshipy thing happening, it seems like, but I still don't entirely buy that they are interested in each other in any way, but they're like selling it. They're making it work during the performances.
Right, right. But Ryan is totally like, you know, he thinks he's below her and she thinks he's below her.
Yeah.
And they act that out.
They do, which is very interesting, actually, to have him so clearly be like, you know what? She is just more talented, I guess. I'll just ride that.
in every, like, not, yeah, definitely the talent part, but also the, like, the, you know, I mean, this isn't meant to sound sexist because I don't like this kind of talk, but definitely like the kind of guy who stands behind her to hold her purse. Like, that's the point.
Yeah, and he does seem like oddly satisfied with being like, oh, I'm the number two in this relationship. We're not equal. I'm the second one, you know?
Right, which wouldn't have happened with Jamie.
No, I don't think it would.
It's all about Natasha's attitude, so it's hard to parse.
Well, we got to do a whole number on Jamie, but let's save that for next week.
Okay.
I have a feeling she's going to give us more material to work with because she's given us so much to work with so far.
Yeah, I assume something's got to happen with them soon, with Jamie and Trevor.
Right. Yeah. All right. Hey. Good episode, as usual. I learned a lot. Two more episodes, and then it sounds like we're not totally going to be into what they're going to do with the next phase of The Bachelor, which is they're going to edit together these like retrospectives, right?
Oh, it sounds horrible.
Yeah, so
what was the point of me watching the damn season and wasting my life?
So it sounds like we're probably not going to be podcasting though. So there could be quite a long time between our last podcast in a couple weeks and the next podcast, which would be whenever The Bachelorette starts back up.
Yeah, I wish they would come up with some new concept. Like maybe they could do the circle, but it's for dating each other or something. So right. It's like quarantine dating, Bachelor style.
Yeah, it totally bugs me how lazy they're being. I mean, a clip show? You got to be kidding me.
That it's not just one clip show. Lazy. It's 14, 12, 14 clip shows?
Right, like a whole season in one night, right? And then the next week. That is...
Yikes.
Yeah, like... someone pays these people to come up with this crap? That's like genuine crap.
Well, they got to put something on TV. I mean,
no, I want to get a job working on the Bachelor franchise because I feel like my ideas are better, you know?
Anyone's, yeah. Yes, I'm sure your ideas are better. But I mean, like, anyone's ideas are better than this. This is a horrible, there's no way that, like, this was the, and this must have been the best idea. That's even sadder to me.
Right. Oh my God. Did either of you see the thing with Mike Fleiss suggesting how to make baseball work?
No.
Oh, I got to send it to you because I'm going to not recall all of the details. But the small thing I saw was about he was coming up with concepts for, like, how do we make baseball happen when we can't have full stadiums, etc. And his idea was that you should put the wives and girlfriends in the stands all spread apart throughout the stadium. They're the only people there. So there's social distancing. And the motivation for the team to win is that whichever winning team, you know, our team wins, they get to go have sex with their wives and girlfriends, but the other ones have to stay separated.
They get sequestered in a hotel.
Yes. And it was like, what?
Oh my God.
That's not such a bad idea.
Apparently several baseball players already came out and were like, I'm not interested in participating in this.
That's the dumbest thing. That's so dumb. That makes no sense. I mean, is it a joke? Is it supposed to be a joke?
It seemed like he was serious, but I guess it's hard to tell. Because that is a bonkers idea. Also, like these professional athletes need some extra motivation to win a game that they're playing in. You know what I mean? Like, in the regular season, they presumably still want to win games, and they're not guaranteed sex after them.
Oh my God. Well, they're all roided up. They don't want sex. They want to punch things. Like, I don't.
Hey, not anymore. They're not roided up.
They're not anymore? They got other drugs that.
Yeah. But yeah, there's also stuff with, like, I've heard this with some other professional athletes that they don't like to have sex during the season necessarily that much.
It's like boxers are roided
up. Yeah, because they're roided up, and it's like energy and distraction, etc. Yeah. So, like, that it's probably fairly common for them to not be frequently boning during the season anyway.
Well, on that fun note, we'll tweet that link out once you send it to me.
Okay, I gotta find it.
All right. Follow us on social. Leave us a review on the Apple iTunes app. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Caitlin, I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you. Yeah.